During this past week, we were zocheh to celebrate Chag HaSukkos and Simchas Torah. We ended the Torah, and also we started the Torah right away again. And it is well known that the end of the Torah is connected to the beginning of the Torah. The end of the Torah ends with the words La'ein they call Yisrael, and the beginning of the Torah begins with Bereishis Bara Elokim. And the last letter of the Torah is a lamed. The first letter of the Torah is a bays. You have the word lev, heart. And the Mefarshim give many explanations connecting the end of the Torah to the beginning, explaining what this lev is all about. It occurred to me that perhaps there's also another connection between the end of the Torah, between the end of the year and the beginning of the year as well. Perhaps not in the Chumash, but in the Mo'adim that we celebrated. Rav Huttner Zitzel, I'm basing most of my comments today on the Sefer Pachad Yitzchak, on Sukkos, from Hagoyin Rav Yitzchak Huttner Zitzel, and he points out that Sukkos is the end of two cycles. First of all, it's the end of the Yomim Noroim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkos, with Simchas Torah, Shmini Atzeres being the final end of the Yomim Noroim. And also, it's the end of another cycle, and that's the Shalosh Regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, again with Simchas Torah and Shmini Atzeres at the end. So in Sukkos, we have a double ending of two cycles, the Yomim Noroim cycle and the Shalosh Regalim cycle. And when we come to the end of these two cycles, we invite the Ushpizin into the Sukkah, and the first three of the Ushpizin are Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Afterwards, there's different Minhagim, Yosef, Moshe, Aaron, exactly the order, but the first three, everybody agrees, is Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And then, of course, as we go into Bereishis, and we go into the beginning of Chumash, we're confronted with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Very shortly, we'll be, Parshas Lech Lecha, we'll already be discussing the life of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So I wanted to focus in this year on some of the thoughts, and perhaps add a thought of my own, to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, our Avos. The Chazal tell us that ain kairin la avos ela shloisha. There are only three avos. In other words, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were the fathers of Klal Yisrael. They gave into Klal Yisrael certain character traits, and as Rav Huttner is going to explain exactly what those specific character traits were of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But let us begin with the first mimer of the Pachad Yitzchak on Sukkos, and he focuses on a pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Peites. The Perek begins with the words Maskil La'eson Ha'ezrachi. I'm not sure exactly, I didn't have time to research. Perek Peites, 89. What exactly the word Maskil means? It probably has to do with Seichel, with it's a thought, a seichel written by Eson Ha'ezrachi. Who is this person, Eson Ha'ezrachi? Chazal tell us, it's in the same Masechta that's being learnt now in the Daf Yomi, Bava Basra, on Daf Tez Vav, the Gemara says that Eson Ha'ezrachi is none other than Avram Avinu. How does Avram Avinu get this peculiar name of Eson Ha'ezrachi? So first of all, Ezrachi means he came from Mizrach. Hashem told him to leave his land in the eastern part of the world and travel to the western part of the world, which to him was the Eretz Canaan, to Eretz Yisrael. So that's what the word Ezrachi means. The word Eson means having strength, like the strong one from the Mizrach. And this refers to Avram Avinu. So Rav Huttner wants to understand why specifically in this Perek Peites was Avram given this name. We could have said Maskil L'Avram Avinu. Why here of all places that was it found appropriate to give him this title of Eis Nezrachi. Rav Huttner explains that if you understand what the rest of the Perek is about, you'll also understand why Avram here is given the special title of Eis Nezrachi. So Rav Huttner focuses on a pasuk in the same Perek, Peites, a famous pasuk, which is Oilam Chesed Yibone. We're speaking about Parshas Bereishis, the beginning of the creation of the world. The beginning of the creation of the world, the midah that Hashem used to create the world was the midah of chesed, of kindness. As Rav Huttner explains, Hashem is a tov and a meitiv. He's good and he does good to others. We are the others that he does good to. How does he do good to us? Because he created Olam Haba. And in order for us to gain Olam Haba, to merit the schus of living in Olam Haba, we have to first go through Olam Hazeh. We have to have the challenges of Olam Hazeh, the Nisyonis, the fight between the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Ra. And then if we choose to always follow the Yetzer Tov, then we merit, we worked for it hard in this world, we'll merit eternal bliss in Olam Haba, we're misaneg al Hashem. The greatest pleasure is that we will have pleasure from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the great chesed that Hashem created for us. So the midah that is associated with Bria, with creation of this world, we find in this Perek Peites, is Olam Chesed Yibana. Hashem created a world of chesed. So Rav Huttner says if we focus on the midah of chesed, we will understand the connection with the beginning of the Perek, which is Maskel Eisen Ezrachi. There is a connection between Chesed of Hashem and the fact that Avram is called Eisen Ezrachi. Now, let's begin with Chesed. So Rav Huttner says, concerning the Midah of Chesed, we find something that is peculiar about the Midah of Chesed. He calls it Hevdel Toichen. If you compare chesed to all other midos, good midos that a person has, chesed is different. There's something in the essence of chesed which makes it strikingly different than every other midah.
What do you mean by chesed tochen?
Sorry?
What do you mean by chesed tochen?
Chesed tochen? What do you,
no,
chesed. Hevdel tochen. There's a hevdel, a difference. There's a fundamental difference in the essence of the Midah.
Hevdel,
a difference. A fundamental difference in the essence of the Midah of Chesed compared to others. That's one. And also, he says, the Hevdel Chayva. There is an obligation because of this fundamental difference between Chesed and every other Midah. It also places on us a unique obligation which you don't have by other midos. What does he mean? So he brings a Gemara in Ksubis, of Chesamid Beis. The Gemara says, Amar Lei, Kum Eima Milsa Keneged Menachmei Aveilim. I want to say something positive about those people who are Menachem Avil. When somebody loses a relative, other people come to comfort them. Pasach vi Amar, he got up and said, Achenu, our brothers, gom lechasadim, you are people who do kindness, b'nei gom lechasadim, you are the descendants of people who do kindness, hamachzikim, that you hold on to, bebrusoi shel Avram Avinu, in the covenant of Avram Avinu. So we find in this Gemara, says Rav Huttner, that chesed is different than every other midah. This is the difference in the essence of the midah. Why? Because the Gemara here associates the Midah of Chesed with something else that is the Bris of Avram. When we speak about Bris of Avram, we know we're always referring to Bris Milah. In fact, at a Bris, you say two brachas, which Rav Huttner is going to get to in a moment. One is Al HaMilah, you commanded me to do the mitzvah of Milah, my son. And the second one, I could send a shliach. I have a mole who's my he's my representative, but he's doing the mitzvah of mila. And then we add another bracha lahachnisai bebrisai shel Avram Avinu. So when we speak about a bris of Avram, we're always referring to bris mila. Here, this Rav in the Gemara, who was praising people who were Menachem Avol, said, "You know what you are? You are gomli chasadim b'nei gomli chasadim." And you know what you're doing when you do the kindness of Menachem Avol? You are grabbing on to the bris of Avram Avinu. So the Gemara made an association between chesed and bris mila. In other words, just as bris mila is a sign on the body of this child, that there's a covenant between Hashem and this child who is a Yehudi, a Jew, so too the Midah of Chesed is not just any other Midah. The Midah of Chesed is as if it's something that's in the very essence of the person who's doing the Chesed. It's like a mark on his body, as is Bris Mila. So that, which we don't find by any other Midah except for Chesed. To call it that it's a hamachzikim bebrisrish Avram Avinu. So that's the fundamental difference in essence. Now, what is the difference in the obligation? The difference is that by any other mitzvah, we don't find, like we have here by bris mila. By bris mila, not only do you make two brachas. Usually, on lulav, we made two brachas the first day, we made a shechiyanu. The second day, when there's no more shechiyanu, we don't make a second bracha. We make only one bracha, al netilas lulav. Here, there are some people who make three brachas by a bris mila. They make a shechiyanu also. But normally people make two brachas. But it's something unique that not only are you commanding me, Hashem, to do the bris mila on my child, but you're also commanding me that I am mechuyev to enter into the covenant of Avram Avinu. And that's the covenant that Avram made with Hashem, that bris, when I do the bris mila on my child, I am entering, I'm doing an action to enter into the covenant of Avram Avinu. Now, we just said before that chesed is also considered the bris reshel Avram Avinu. Avram's midah was the midah of chesed. Titen chesed l'Avram. Titen emes l'Yakov chesed l'Avram. So the midah of Avram was chesed. So just like we are obligated to enter, we have to do things to enter into the bris of Avram Avinu as far as bris mila, so too with the other bris that we have with Hashem, which is the midah of chesed, we have to do things to enter into that covenant. It's not enough, as normally, Rav Hutner points out later in this mimer, normally when we think about chesed, we think about mahu afato. Just like Hashem is Mevaker Cholim, he was Mevaker Avram Avinu, you should be Mevaker Cholim. Hashem is Menachem Avol, you should be Menachem Avol. Hashem is Malbish Arumim, gives clothes to those who don't have it, you should be. Hashem is Machnas Archim, you should be Machnas Archim. So in other words, Mahu Afato, we have to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how we normally think of Chesed. But Rav Hutner says there's another aspect to it. And the other aspect is that when I do Chesed, I'm entering into the covenant which Hashem did with Avram Avinu.
Why don't we make a bracha?
So he says that the Rishonim asked the question, before we do any mitzvah of chesed, we should make a bracha. And all the Rishonim have this question. And there's very...
There's no limit.
Maybe there's no limit. One answer is that it's dependent on someone else. Let's say at the last minute, the person says, no, I don't want it. So you made the bracha, and then the person won't accept it. So there's many terutzim in the Rishonim give. Rav Hutner points out, even though we don't make the bracha, but what the bracha symbolizes, the thought of the bracha we have to carry with us. In other words, when I'm doing a chesed, I'm acting like Hashem, and also, I am entering into that special covenant that Hashem made with Avram Avinu. This is what he says. Now that we see there's something special about chesed, now we have to understand, says Rav Hutner, why is chesed special? Different than other midas. We don't find this by other midas. So Rav Hutner says, because olam chesed yibone. The all other midas, and as we are oilam katan, there's a big world out there, and a man, a human being, is the miniature world. Whatever we find, the way Hashem runs the big world, that's how we have to run our small world, which is tzelem elokim. We were created in the image of Hashem. So all other midos are the way Hashem manages the world. Chesed is what Hashem used to create the world. Since Hashem's main purpose in creating this entire world was to give us pleasure of Olam Haba, which is the greatest pleasure that a human being can ever have, so that was the whole purpose of it. So Chesed is not used to manage the world. Chesed is used in the very creation of the world. So too, that's the fundamental difference between Chesed and all other midas in a person as well. All other positive midas, a person is an onav, positive midah. A person is a savlon. He's able to bear things and not any other positive midah. He'll be patient. Any other positive midah that person has, that's all in how he manages his life. But how does he create his life? What's oilam chesed yibane? How does he build his gestalt of his life? That's only with the meat of chesed. Chesed comes first. Chesed is so important. That's why it's lachmis lebebrisus shel Avraham Avinu. We have to enter into that world. That's the world of creation. The other midos are, once the world is created, how do you manage that world? So he says a very beautiful thought. That how did Avram discover that there was a Ribbono Shel Olam? The Chazal say he was hikaris boyroi. He figured out that there's a world, that there's Hashem. Nistakel bebira. He looked at the castle, and from the castle he understood that there's a Baal HaBira. If there's a world down here, if this is the domain of Hashem, then there had to be someone who created this world. So Rav Huttner says that there's a bridge. How did Hashem create the world? Through Chesed. When Avram wanted to discover the one who created the world, he traveled that same bridge. Rav Huttner says that this world is dependent on the fact that we find Hashem in this world. And Hashem is found in this world only according to how much chesed there is in the world. So in other words, there's a bridge of chesed. From Hashem's vantage point, it is through this bridge of chesed that he created the world. From Avram's vantage point, who didn't know about Hashem, he discovered Hashem. How did he discover Hashem? He took the bridge backwards. He went on that same bridge which Hashem created, Olam Chesed Yibaneh, and now that the world's created, oh, let me travel that same bridge. That same bridge was the bridge of Chesed. And through that Chesed, he figured out that there had to be a Borei Olam in this world. So Rav Huttner goes on, and he speaks about a Haftorah, which actually, we read it on, I believe it's the first day of Sukkot, Melachim Aleph Perek Ches. When Shlomo Melech finished building the Beis Hamikdash, so it says in the pasuk, "Vayikalu el Hamelech Shlomo kol Ish Yisrael." They gathered together to Shlomo Melech, everybody from Klal Yisrael, "Biyerech ha'esanim b'chag," in the month of the Esanim. You have that same word, "Maskil le'esan ha'ezrachi." Here, that word "esan" is used connected with the month. Which month was that? The strong month. B'chag, the Chag HaSukkos, they gathered. Hu HaChodesh HaShvi. Which month is that? That is the seventh month. The Targum Yonis, which is Tishrei. The Targum Yonis says on these words, B'yarcha datikaya koron le'yarcha kadmo. This is the month where the ancient ones call it the month that came first. And what we know it as the seventh month. Yerach HaSanim is HaChodesh, the month, Sha'atikim, the ancient ones, HaYukarin HaYisoy HaChodesh HaKadmoini. They used to call it the first month. We know B'Tishrei Nivra Olam, the world was created in Tishrei. So that is the first month. That's where our year begins, from Chodesh Tishrei. That's when Rosh Hashanah is. So Rav Hutter wants to say, based on this targum, he wants to say, you know what the word a son means? It comes, one of the people who understand language says that it's not a Hebrew word. Its source is really an Aramaic word. In Aramaic, the word is, that's the shorash here, is means, like in Hebrew, you would say, Lashon Kodesh, the word yesh, yeshus. It's viability, it's essence, it's yeshus, yesh me'ayin. Hashem created the world from nothing, he made something. So the word, we know Esan, we referred to it before as the strong one. Avraham Avinu is called Esan HaEzrachi, the strong one who came from Mizrach. He traveled to Marav, to Eretz Yisrael. So why does this connotate strength? Because it means I won't budge at anything that challenges my existence. Yeshus means that I'm strong in the sense that I'm protecting my being. I am a being, and I'm not going to let anything threaten that existence. So the word yesh on the one hand is existence, and on the other hand it denotes strength, because I'm going to protect my yeshus. I'm going to protect my existence. So now it comes out very good, says Rav Hutner. The seventh month of the year, Chodesh Tishrei, that's Yerech HaYisanim. When the Jews gathered to Shlomo HaMelech on Sukkot, it was in Tishrei. And he brings down that even the word Tishrei in Aramaic is Sheryusa, which means beginning. The beginning, Olam Chesed Yibaneh, this is the month, Tishrei, in which Hashem created the world. He made yesh me'ayin. He made from nothing, he made something. So that word denotes also is. Is is an Aramaic yesh. It denotes strength, that I'm protecting my existence. That's the month of existence. That's the month of strength. That's the month of Tishrei. That's the seventh month of the year. So since now we come back to Tehillim Perek Peites, that since this pasuk in Perek Peites is Oylam Chesed Yibaneh, it discusses what Midah Hashem used, not to manage the world, but to create the world, and the world was created from Yesh Me'ayin. So, and what was the Midah that was used in that? The Midah of Chesed. So now we understand when we refer to Avram. Here in this Perek, we're going to give him a special name. His special name is Esan Ezrachi, the strong one who came from Mizrach, because Avram followed that bridge of Chesed with which Hashem created the world. Hashem, through Chesed, found out that same bridge he took backwards. He saw the world and he figured out there must be Hashem who, through Chesed, He looked at the whole world. When he looked into the Bria, and he saw how the world is set up, and Avram said, maybe the moon is the world, maybe the sun is the world, and he was able to finally discover that none of them are the ones who created the world. So then he saw in the chesed that Hashem showed in the Bria, in every an apple, b'chein b'chesed rachamim, we say in benching, I mean an orange could be black. We wouldn't have a peel. What did Hashem do? He made a beautiful orange cover, and then he put it in sections, so we were able to easily take it apart. Even when he gave us food, he did it in the way of chesed. When a person looks in the Bria, he sees the chesed of the Ribbono Shel Olam in the Bria. So Memela, when we're speaking about the meat of chesed, which is the meat of yesh, which is essence, which is existence, which is strength, so that's the month is Yerech HaYisanim, and here Avram, whose Midah was Chesed, and that's how he figured out that there was a Bara Olam in the world. So here specifically, it wants to speak about Avram in terms of Chesed. Chesed is not how I manage my life, but Chesed is so fundamental that it is the Midah with which I create my life. Olam Chesed Yibane, and that's why there's a special mitzvah of Lachnisoi Bebrisoi Shel Avraham Avinu, not only on the Bris Milah, but on Chesed, which is also considered the covenant between Hashem and Avraham Avinu. Now, he discusses further in Perek Hay, he discusses one point, and I want to really, I perhaps add and make out of the one point 3 points, meaning as follows. He explains Yitzchak, and I want to explain Avram and Yaakov as well. We find a very interesting thing, that Avram Avinu, his name originally was Avram, and it was changed to Avraham, and a hey was added. Now, the Gemara tells us in Brachos Daf Yud Gimel that whoever now refers to Avraham as Avram is over on a losaseh or an asay. The Gemara brings psukim to show that you should no longer call Avraham Avram after his name was changed. We have Yitzchak. Yitzchak didn't get any change of name. The name Yitzchak that he got to begin with stayed with him his whole life. Yaakov got another name. His name is Yisrael. But what's interesting is that Yisrael, the Gemara tells us, you're still allowed to call him Yaakov. In fact, after he got the name of Yisrael, we find that Hashem appeared to Yaakov and spoke to him as Yaakov. So Yaakov and Yisrael, you have, I think the stipler's name was Yaakov Yisrael. There are people who have both names. We use both names, Yaakov Yisrael. So it's very interesting. Avram's name was changed, and you're no longer allowed to call him Avram. Yitzchak never had a change of name. Yaakov had Yaakov and Yisrael. You can call them both. So why is this? So Rav Huttner concentrates only on Yitzchak. But I think it makes sense. I'm going to explain Avram and Yaakov as well. What does he say about Yitzchak? So Rav Huttner says that we find, as we mentioned before, there's only 3 people who are called Avos. And those are Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Each one of our fathers gave something special into Klal Yisrael. What was something special? Avram was, and he calls him, in Yiddish, and I'll translate, the Erster Gevoriner. Avram was the first one who became. He was a Goy, he was Megayer, he recognized Hashem, and he became a Ger. He's the first one in the world who became something different than he was before. Yitzchak is their Erster Geboriner. Yitzchak is the first one who was born as a Jew. He had his bris right away on the 8th day. He was the full-fledged Jew right from birth. Avram wasn't the Jew right from birth. He had to convert. He had to go through Geras. Yaakov is their Erster Farfalliner. Farfalliner means he's the first one by default. For fallen, that's the way it is. What does it mean? We find, brings Rav Huttner, the Gemara calls Esav Yisrael Mummer. Esav was a Yisrael who became an Apikoros, a Mummer. So does that mean he's a long-lost Jewish brother? No. When Esav became a Mummer, he cut himself off from the Jewish people. However, from Yaakov on, Yaakov mitasei shleima, Yaakov, all his children were bona fide tzaddikim. And not only that, but anyone after Yaakov and the Shvatim, even if someone chas v'shalom will become an apikoros, we have a chazal that says, the chazal say, ki lo yidach mimenu nidach, no one will ever fall away. Yisrael shechata, Afa became Yisrael. Who? A Jew could be baptized. He could go in the river and go in the mikveh and be baptized. He can go into Tibet and be a guru. And right, they have the story where the Jewish mother came to her son, the guru, and said, "Yossel, come home." You know, he can do whatever he wants. Yisrael, Shechata, Afa became Yisrael. He's a Jew. He cannot renounce it. So there's a difference between today a Yisrael Mummer and Esav, who the Gemara calls Yisrael Mummer. Esav Yisrael Mummer cut himself off from the Jewish people. He's a Goy. From him came out Rome and Edom and Amalek. That's all from Esav. They're total Goyim. But from a, after Yaakov, lo yidach mimeno nidach, he'll never be pushed away. Even though he sinned, he remains a Jew. So Rav Huttner says, if this is what each of the fathers contributed, now we understand why he focuses on Yitzchak. Why Yitzchak had to only have one name, because he was born finished. There were no changes. His contribution to Klal Yisrael was, here I am, ready made. I didn't become, I'm not changing. He has one name, Yitzchak, no change. That's what Rav Huttner focuses on. But I want to suggest perhaps we can also understand Avraham and Yaakov based on this type of thought. Why? Because Rav Huttner earlier in Maimer Beis brings down, we know a rule, Ger Shen is Gayer Kekotin Shenoladami. A Ger who becomes, a Goy who becomes a Ger, he has no halachic relationship to his parents. His parents are Goyim, he's a Jew, he's like a newborn baby, even though they're his biological parents, but halachically he has no, they're not considered his father, he's not their son halachically, once he becomes a Jew. The Chasam Sofer says we don't really know the source for this rule. Rav Huttner wants to suggest that we find in Pirkei Avos, at the end of Perikei, there's a Tana called Ben Heihei. What a funny name, Ben Heihei. So the Tosus and Masechet Chagiga tells us that Hey is the letter that's used for a Ger. Avram, when he became a Ger, was called Avraham. Sarai became called Sarah. And we also find, that's why this Tana, who was a Ger, so he was given this name, Ben Heihei. He's the son of Heihei, meaning that he's became a Ger. We find that the letter Hey is also associated with the creation of this world. It says, Behi Barum, Behei Barum. The Pasuk says, Beka Hashem Tzur Olamim. With the letters Ka, Yud, and Hey, Hashem created the world. Yud is for Olam Abba, and Hey is Olam Hazeh. Whatever the deep meaning of why Yud is associated with Olam Abba, and Hey is associated with Olam Hazeh, but that's the fact. This world was created with the letter Hey, Behi Barum, with the letter Hey. So Rav Huttner says, if Hey is the letter that is associated with creation of the world, so a Ger who's becoming a new entity, so that's his letter, Avraham, Sarai becomes Sarah. This the Ger in the Gemara is Ben Hey Hey. It's a new identity. I want to suggest, if that's so, now we understand. When Avram became Avraham, it's an Avera, you're not allowed to call him Avram anymore. Because he's Ani Acher, as the Lashon of the Rambam in Tshuva, when a person does Tshuva, Ani Acher V'loi Oyser Ish, She'osa Oyser Amaisim. I'm somebody different, I'm not that person who did the Averas. That's what a Baal Tshuva has to become. So Avram, when he became a Ger, he became somebody else. So you cannot refer to him. There's an Aveira to refer to him as Avram. Because Avraham is not Avram. Avram is a Ger. He's like a Bria Chadash. He's like a newborn baby. That's why there's an Isser to call him Avram. Now, Yaakov and Yisrael, on the other hand, he was given an additional name. But he remains Yaakov. Perhaps, I was thinking, this is a remez that Yisrael, Afapi Shechata Yisraelu. Once we came to Yaakov, then it's not like Esav Yisrael Mummer, that he was able to divorce himself from the Jewish people and become a Goy. No. By Yaakov, everything stays, there could be changes, but you remain what you were. In other words, Yisrael, but you're still Yaakov. That's Meramez, it's a Remez that you're stuck.
The DNA,
right? You have Jewish DNA in you. You can't get rid of anything. I mean, by Yaakov and Yisrael, he became better. He became not only Yaakov, also Yisrael. But it's a remez that even a Jew becomes worse. Chata, but he remains a Jew. He remains Yaakov. There's no change. So perhaps this might answer. Well, Avram became a Ger, new creation. You cannot call him anymore Avram. Yitzchak was finished the way he came in the world. He has only one name, no changes at all. And Yaakov, by default, you remain what you are. That's Merumas in Yisrael that stayed Yaakov. He got added Yisrael, but he remained Yaakov. And that's a remez that that even if a Jew would chashom go away, he still remains a Jew. one last thought on post-Sukkot reflections that I wanted to share with you. As before Yom Kippur, I spoke about the fact that we find Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah, we said that Hashem is the Melech, and we're supposed to say Psukim of Malchios, 10 Psukim, Imru Lefoni Malchios, Kadesha Tamlichuni Aleichem, that I should become a Melech over you. I suggested it's like a shower, like a person gets from head to toe. Hashem wants us to take him into every facet of our lives, over you from top to bottom. And if we do that, then we're Zoch on Yom Kippur, that Hashem is referred to as Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. It's like we go into a mikveh where we're covered from head to toe with water. And then, I just wanted to conclude it, I don't think I mentioned this, by Sukkot. By Sukkot, we go into a sukkah, and we're also, we're covered. It says Yom Kippur is tshuva miyira. We do tshuva out of fear of Hashem, the yom ha'roim. And by Sukkot, it's tshuva me'ava. We do it out of simcha, out of love of Hashem. But again, it's going into a mitzvah where here we go in with even our clothing. Everything is engulfed with Hashem. We're betzilsa demnusa. We're in the shade of emunah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The message is that when we go back into our house, the message of the sukkah is that go out of your regular house and go into the sukkah and learn that your life is to be engulfed with Hashem. Every facet of your life. That when you go back into your regular house, your house becomes the same thing. The Chasam Sofer says on the Gemara Megillah, says that a seed in the future, all shuls and all batei midrashim in all over the world will fly to Eretz Yisrael. They'll become planted in the time of Mashiach in Eretz Yisrael. So the Chasam Sofer says it's not only a shul and a base medrash, but your own home. If you learnt in your home, if you made from your library, if you made from where you learned, you made into a base of medrash where you sit and you toil over Torah. So then and according to what we're saying, if you took the message of the sukkah that you're engulfed with Hashem and you brought that back into your house, so every room in your house, not only where the husband is learning, but in the kitchen where the woman is giving challah, the living room where we had lakas neiros. If every area of the home gets the message of sukkah, that my whole life is permeated with kedusha, with avodas Hashem, so that home will also fly to Eretz Yisrael. That will be considered a migdish ma'at. It'll be considered a beis hamedrash. So the message of sukkah is, tzei midiras kva, go out of your regular home. Go into a temporary abode. Be surrounded by the shade of Amunah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, totally engulfing your life. And then when you go back after Sukkot, bring that message back to you into your house, that your house should become like a sukkah, that everything in it should be totally involved with Torah, Mitzvah, and Kedusha. And in that schus, your house too, like the Chasam Sofer says, will become like a Beis HaMedrash, that it too will be transplanted eventually in Eretz Yisrael with the coming of Mashiach Tzakenu, b'mehera v'yameinu, amen.